Lecture 4, The Origins of the French Revolution.
Hello. In our last two lectures, we have been dealing with economic and social conditions prevalent in the 18th century in Europe, examining the economic transformation of Europe, the emergence of international trade, the growth of a commercial, entrepreneurial middle rank of society, and the economic strains that that produced in Europe and for the political system. We also have examined the intellectual background, the intellectual climate for events in the late 18th century, looking at the emergence of the ideas, the set of ideas, attitudes, and so on that one associates with the Enlightenment. In this lecture, we're going to turn our attention to the actual background to the Revolution of 1789, to examine the long-term factors that contributed to the outbreak of the Revolution in that summer, and then also to look at the immediate factors which precipitated the revolutionary events of 1789. Let's begin by returning to a theme that we raised earlier, and that was the dilemma of the French absolutist state. The wars of Louis XIV and Louis XV had drained the French treasury. France had been virtually constantly at war from the middle of the 17th century to the middle of the 18th, and then continued to be involved in international conflicts, particularly the involvement in the American Revolution at the end of the 18th century, so that the treasury had been drained, largely drained, by this very ambitious foreign policy. The tax base, as successive monarchs discovered, was not adequate to meet the military expenditures, despite the fact that France was, without question, at the end of the 18th century, the most prosperous country in Europe. It was the wealthiest country in Europe, far beyond Britain at this point, still. The most prosperous people in France were also tax exempt. And this was one of the great problems. Efforts to reform the tax system were therefore critical for the monarchy. And from Louis XIV down to Louis XVI, the monarchs understood this. Some basic form of restructuring the tax system, of reforming the tax system to gain access to this enormous wealth that was being generated in France was absolutely essential if the monarchy was to stay afloat. It was already, by mid-century, debt-ridden to an extraordinary extent. I think by 1789, something like 50% of French, the French budget was already simply to handle the tax, the debt burden, of the French government. These efforts, then, and efforts that would be, as we shall see, to reform the tax system, were resisted, and resisted tenaciously, by a very powerful coalition of social forces. The high aristocracy, of course, was absolutely opposed to anything that even remotely hinted at an erosion of their tax-exempt status. After all, this was one of the traditional privileges of aristocracy, and any time that monarchy, no matter how well it was justified, no matter how powerful the argument might have been in terms of raison d'état, there was absolutely no give on this by the French aristocracy. This was a traditional privilege. It would not be eroded by the state. They talked about this privilege in universalist terms in many cases. This would be an abuse of power by the monarchy that had to be resisted by the people. Frequently, what they meant was aristocracy. Similarly, as the monarchy looked around for potential sources of tax revenue, one other possibility suggested itself immediately, and that was the church. The church, after all, was the largest landowner in France. It was also tax exempt. It was, therefore, a very, very inviting target for the monarchy. But the church, as well as being a great landowner, was also an extremely powerful institution that extended all over the country, of course. And as a consequence, the church was quite adept at raising opposition, mobilizing opposition to any attempt on the part of monarchy to revise its status. Lower nobles and officials. Well, this was a possibility for the monarchy, but they too were quite keen on maintaining the privileges that, for the most part, they had bought. One finds with many government employees, with lower nobility, people who had bought patents of nobility from the monarchy, had done so to raise their social status and, by implication, also to achieve the privileges, one of which was tax exemption. So for them, this seemed like a particularly cruel idea to think about extending taxation to them.